Heavenly Father, we thank you for our King Jesus. Help us to learn more about him and to respond to him in our hearts. In your name, amen. So, first slide. After all those slightly dodgy and different kinds of kings, good kings that were sometimes bad kings that were sometimes good, foreign kings that could be all sorts of things, Zechariah the prophet had this to say. Rejoice, rejoice, people of Zion. Shout for joy, you people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He comes triumphant and victorious, but humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. 500 years later, that's what happened. Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. And lots of people said, look, this is the prophecy coming true. Here he is, our king, riding on a donkey. But some people might have said, well, yeah, but anyone can actually ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. And it was interesting, wasn't it, that Zechariah's prophecy, which there was a line missing when Matthew quoted it, and it says, he comes triumphant and victorious, but humble and riding on a donkey. What sort of a king comes on a donkey, humble, and yet is triumphant and victorious? How could that be? So, people might have thought triumphant and victorious meant the next slide. Strong and powerful in that way, with an army and a horse, not a donkey, and been fighting lots of battles and have won them all and come back in triumph to say, I have won all these battles. And nothing like that had taken place. People of Jerusalem would have known if that had been happening. The only people who'd been doing that sort of thing were Romans. Jesus hadn't been doing that. So in what way could he be triumphant and victorious? What sort of power had he been showing? Well, the people who came to Jerusalem with him, claiming he was king, had been round him in Galilee, and they had seen all sorts of amazing and wonderful things that showed power that was greater than any other king. People who were blind, given back their sight. People who were ill to the point of death, life restored. And the wind and the waves calmed. The wind and the waves under control of an earthly king didn't work for Canute, didn't work for any other king. This was somebody with more power, not less, than the earthly kings. But if he had all that power, what sort of a ruler was he? Was he a supreme ruler? Do this! And everybody did it. And if they didn't do it, they were slapped in prison if they were lucky, if they were unlucky. Was Jesus like that? Did he insist on his law being obeyed? Did he get himself rich and powerful in that way? Well, this is what Jesus said. The king of the pagans have power over their people, and the rulers claim the title friends of the people. But I am among you as one who serves. And those words were spoken at the Last Supper, and Jesus put them into practice. He didn't just say them. He showed that he'd come not to lord it over people, but to serve them. And he did that by doing one of the lowliest jobs around, washing his disciples' feet. So he never became rich in that way. He never took advantage. He never made people kneel in obedience. And yet, people recognized his authority. When he was teaching, the people who heard him were amazed at the way he taught. For he wasn't like the teachers of the law. Instead, he taught with authority. Kings in the past had made all sorts of laws and decrees, a lot of them to serve themselves, and a lot of them not followed up by a good example. But Jesus taught with authority, lived with authority, and people of their own accord willingly accepted that authority. The teaching of Jesus was not the law of cruelty and enslavement, but the law of freedom and love. So, having seen all this, it's not surprising that there were a group of people entering Jerusalem with Jesus who claimed him as king. Did he get to wear the royal crown and robes and look a bit like Lawrence? Many people wanted that to happen. They wanted him to take power in a military sort of way. But as we've seen, that wasn't the sort of king Jesus had come to be. However, he did get his robes and his crown, but they weren't the kind you would want to have. The purple robe was a robe of mockery. The crown was a painful crown of thorns. There were people in Jerusalem who saw that Jesus had power, but they wanted to end it. So what happened? Did he rule over a large empire? This is the Roman Empire at its biggest. Jesus lived in one small corner, and even that small corner did not all recognize him as king. His group of followers did, but they ran away when he was crucified. Didn't seem to be a very successful king, did he? And yet, his kingdom is bigger now than the Roman Empire. It spreads throughout the world. And the Roman Empire is long gone. Jesus' kingdom continues to grow because God raised Jesus from the dead and says this: he was humble and walked the path of obedience, the way to death, death on the cross. But for this reason, God raised him to the highest place above and gave him the name that is greater than any other name. And so, in honor of the name of Jesus, all beings in heaven, on earth, and in the world below will fall on their knees and will openly proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. More power, more authority than any earthly king has ever had or will ever have. Jesus continues to reign. So what about us? If Jesus is still king, not just the king that rode into Jerusalem on a donkey after all the wonderful things he'd done on earth, but a king in heaven, seated on high with God. Sometimes I think our whole idea of a king is a bit difficult for us. For starters, we have a queen, not a king, don't we? And she is a lady who we respect and honour. But the old-fashioned ideas of what a king is don't really fit so much today, do they? We obey the law of the land, and rightly so, but at the same time, we're allowed to criticise and question our government. And that's rightly so, because in the past, kings got away with murder, literally. Now, we're a bit more democratic. And so the whole idea of an ultimate authority in our lives is a little bit alien to us now, I think. But if we accept Jesus as king, we are talking about absolute authority, because we are talking about someone without flaws, whose laws are perfect and just, whose authority is complete and final. And so if we choose to make Jesus our king, then it is a total choice. Not a, oh, well, you know, I like that bit, but not that bit. So do we recognize Jesus as our king? And if we do, do we trust him? Because if he is a perfect king, then whatever he does is for our interests, not like the other kings who do things for their own interest. What he commands and what he does is for our benefit, but we need to trust him in that, don't we? And if we trust him, do we serve him? Are we prepared, like the armies of old, to give our whole lives and to follow wherever he leads? Because that's what serving a king is about. Do we obey him? Do we take his commands to heart? Make sure we know what Jesus said. Make sure we know the words of the Bible and then put them into practice. Make sure we speak to him and ask what it is he wants of us. Are we prepared to do that? It's a big ask, isn't it? But if we do that, if we choose to make Jesus our king, we have a leader above all others in the world, all that ever have been, all that ever will be. And we are part then of the greatest kingdom on earth, and it's also a kingdom in heaven. And we have a king who we not only trust and serve and obey, but worship and adore and love, along with all the angels of heaven. What a wonderful picture. Before the service, we were meeting for prayer, and words came about the need to kneel before the throne of God, before the throne of our King Jesus. And that might be something you would like to do in the next few moments as we pray. Or you might feel St. James isn't totally geared towards kneeling, and you might like to do it at home. I don't know about you, but quite often when I pray at home, I sit like we do in church. But actually, to kneel is quite a powerful thing. So I recommend trying it. Whichever we choose, we're going to respond to Christ the King in prayer now. Jesus, we praise you for your great majesty above all earthly monarchs and leaders. We praise you for your power and authority and for your humility in coming to earth to serve us and give your life for us. We confess that we do not always recognize you as our King. Sometimes we fail to trust you. Sometimes we do not serve you with all our hearts, and we turn away from your perfect commands. Forgive us and help us now as we prepare for Christmas once again to recognize you as King and give our lives to you, for we ask it in your powerful and holy name. Amen.